begin at verse 9. We're up to Perek Lamed Gimel. Pasuk Tes Zion. Okay, let me give you one moment because I have here a new tape recorder. My other tape recorder is playing games. Okay, one second. Okay, Perek Tes Zion. Perek Lamed Gimel. Pasuk Tezayin. We are in the middle of discussing the theme of a Hashem. Whatever you do at the end is what counts. Hakol Holech Achar HaGemar. Everything depends upon the end, and that means that a person was a rasha his entire life, and at the very end does teshuva. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is very gracious. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is willing to forgive and forget. And at the very end, the person does teshuva. And likewise, the person does chesed and tzedakah his entire life. Chas v'shalom, at the end of his life, he is toyeh al harishonos. He has charot that he did good deeds his entire life. That is a terrible thing. A person rachman l'tzon can lose all of the reward that he received, all of the good deeds that he did his entire life. These things are very, very mystical.
After two minutes. You want to make come true. It can make come
true. What do you say? A person doesn't have error.
Toyal
Rishonis, Avada. Toyal Rishonis, yeah.
After 5 minutes, he wants to become come true.
Yes, so what's the problem?
You can do it?
I don't understand. A person doesn't.
Toyal Rishonis,
he doesn't want to do it. Maybe he won't want to.
A person who does teshuva, Hashem forgives him. There's an idea that it's a chazal. I don't know what the chazal is, and we mentioned this a few times in the shir, that if a person speaks lashon hara on his friend, so there's such a chazal. I don't know where it is that the chazal say all of the persons, the medaber, the one who speaks lashon hara, all of his averos are transferred to the person who upon whom he has spoken lashon hara.
Yeah.
And all of the sins of the person upon whom he spoke lashon hara is transferred to him.
Yes.
So Rav Dessler quotes this Chazal, and Rav Dessler writes, my entire life I struggled to understand what this means, and it's a tzoruch in gadol. How could it possibly be such a thing that just because you speak lashon hara, you forfeit all of your sins, and all of the other person's sins comes to you? Chazal say it, but it's impossible for a human being to understand, to decipher what exactly this means. You see an idea here as well. One of the Farshim actually elaborated upon this idea is that there's a Medrash that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like a human being. If a person comes into court, a person is a fugitive. He robbed banks. The whole life he robbed every bank in the world. And he was involved in doing terrible averos. And he escaped the authorities his entire life. And finally, at the end of his life, they finally catch up with him. So what do? They take him to trial for every avera he did his entire life. The person can't say, listen, I'm 90 years old, I have charata, I robbed all the banks, so listen, I'll give you back the money, I have charata. It's too late. You committed a crime, you are accountable in this world. Hashem says that you would think by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the same thing, that a person does averos his entire life, and now at the end he says, oh, I'm sorry. It's too little, too late. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's not the way I conduct business in Shemayim. If a person is sincere in the teshuva, in doing teshuva, then to some degree, obviously if you cause a person harm, you can't. It's not so simple. But if a person, let's say he sins ben Adam l'makayim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the way I operate is not the way human beings operate. I'm willing to give to be moichel people. So obviously we see these ideas of transference of averos and mitzvos and forgiveness, accountability, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it operates in an entirely different world.
We started this from
Menashe, at the very end of his life, Hashem was willing to forgive him. Hashem, to some degree, even though that's machlokes in the Mishnah, does Menashe have a chelik in Olam Haba? Coming up now, Sanhedrin, new daf yomi mesechta, perik chelik, how many daf, in 100 daf from now, is coming up perik chelik, with 70 daf, 70, 80 daf. Okay, but in any event, it's a very difficult concept to digest, yeah.
I would ask you more question. Why is that the only way of the Hashem
you've said takes the rare. For example, the type of karma. Yeah, you know, yeah, I take the karma issue. I don't help you out when I need you. Why is that the only way of the Russian Hara? What is the power of that?
Rav Dessler, me long ago, Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler was like the Rav Chaim on Lundis. Rav Dessler was the Rav Chaim on Agada. He was from the deepest thinkers in the generation. And if he says that this Chazal is a Tzarech Ion, it's a Tzarech Ion. What could it possibly mean? That just because I speak Lashon Hara, I should get all of his Averos and he should get my Mitzvos? How can you understand that? How can we take that literally? The Tzarech Ion. But one thing we do take away, I just go give it as an example, is that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts his affairs is not the way we not something that we can relate to. In this world, there's no such thing as forgiveness. If a person is a criminal and he gets away with it for many, many years, and finally the authorities track him down, you always hear about these things on the news, that they finally found a criminal, he was hiding out in who knows where, in Alaska, and the authorities got him, and now they're going to try him for his crimes that he committed the last 50 years. He's guilty of murder, and murder is a different whole circle, he takes someone's life. But let's say, whatever the situation is. Look, even the Nazi war criminals, people who are 90, 95 years old.
Is a law like that? So I'm learning Sanhedrin.
Yeah.
Fine. You were brought up to this. It was so mocked that you push.
Yeah.
If you find, like, you had to stay overnight to discuss it, because maybe come home to push.
You look for a zuchus.
You don't go back. I mean, it would seem that Jewish law.
Okay. You look for a zechus, but there is still a degree of accountability. Okay, I don't know. Let's see the psukim. Let's finish up a few more psukim, and then we go on to the new topic. Pasuk of Tezayin Kol Chatasav Asher Chata Lo Si Zachar Nolo. All of the sins that he has committed will not be remembered for him. Why? Because Mishpat Utzdaka Asa. He has done Mishpat and Tzedaka. Justice Tzedaka means he's gone Lefnei Mishur Sadin. And therefore, Choyo Yichya, he shall surely live. Let us see the Mitzvah of Stavu Pasuk Tes Zayin. Kol Chato Yisav Asher Chato Lo Si Zochar No Lo. Choyo Asher Chato Me'oz Ad Lo Yishav. All of the sins that he did until he did the Tshuva Lo Si Zochar No Lo Lios Meis Al Yom, he will not die on account of the sins that he has committed in the past. Mishpat choyel v'atos ha-mishpat utztaka lochen yichya. Rashi, there is none. Radak, there is none. Now there's a very important medrash. This medrash, this pasuk, is the source of the chazal that you all know in your sleep. And that is the Gemara's the question, to Mamori Chazal, if it zidoy noisav nasalo kishkogois or zidoy noisav nasalo kizchuyois. Let me read you this too, this very well-known Maamar Chazal, because this pasuk is the source that if a person does teshuvah, all of his zidoy noisav become merits, not just shgagas. The medrash here is, okay, let me just find it, Perek Lamed Gimel. Okay, the medrash is Dover Acher. This is a medrash in Oisiyos, the Rebbe Akiva. It's a very obscure medrash. Okay, b'shah shehein royin p'nei. No, I'm the wrong medrash. I'm sorry. It's Gemara Masechta Yoma. I'm sorry. That was another thing. Gemara Masechta Yoma Daf Pei Vav. It says Amar Reish Lakish Gidayla Teshuva. Reish Lakish, by the way, was one of the big Balei Teshuva. Okay, Reish Lakish used to be the head of the mafia. Okay, he was a criminal. Reish Lakish. And he was a Baal Teshuva. And he himself said, Gidoyla Teshuva. Teshuva is very great. Shezidoynoisav Nasar Slo Kishkogos. Reish Lakish himself is amazing. He's looking at his own life. Many times when you have Divrei Agada from different Amoroyim, Tanoim Amoroyim, more often than not, they are reflecting upon their own life. If only we had a biography of all of these people, we would have a much greater appreciation of the Maamar Chazal, especially the Divrei Agada, which they relate. Not only Divrei Agada, even Divrei Halacha, it often brings out the essence of their personality. It's a product, their Divrei Halacha is a product of their life, of their whole accomplishments. So he here is a Baal Teshuva, and he is saying that Teshuva is very great, that all of the sins that you've committed with will, with rebellion, are now only considered to be an accident. Hashem does not hold you accountable more than a shkoga. By the way, a shkoga is something which you are responsible for. That's this week's parasha. This week's parasha is a person who kills another person by accident. He has to go to Ori Miklot for rehabilitation. That if he kills someone the oines, it's a complete accident. Complete accident. What? So we're going to come to that one moment. But generally, when a person does an aveira, I just want to point out, when you say someone the word shugaga in Chazal's eyes, it means there's guilt. It does not mean it's a total accident. A total accident, which you have absolutely no responsibility whatsoever, is an onus. Onus, rachmana, patre. You are not accountable, a ki hu zeh. If on Shabbos a person doesn't even know what he's doing, he does not bring a korban. There has to be some degree of guilt. I know it's Shabbos. I just forgot that this malacha is also, or whatever, we'll go through all the details, but basically there is knowledge. You should have been more careful. You are in a dangerous environment. You're chopping wood with an axe. You should pay attention that there might be a person in your vicinity that may be injured through your actions. So Rish Lakish says that if a person does teshuva, Hashem will look back at this person. He's not going to punish him as if he did the Avera b'mezid, but he will be punished. He will be accountable as if he did the Avera b'shoigeg, which means there is a degree of accountability. Shkoga is not a complete accident. Shenemar, what's the source for this halacha? Pasuk in Hosea, we say on right before Rosh Hashanah, we select this pasuk right before Yom Kippur. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha ki choshalta ba'avoinecha. Do teshuva, but it's still called choshalta. You have stumbled. Choshalta has a very powerful connotation. There is a degree of guilt. And we say this before Rosh Hashanah, between Rosh and Yom Kippur. Then the Gemara goes on, Ini, is this really so? But Va'amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish himself, the same Reish Lakish, the criminal who did Shuvah himself, said, Gedoyla Teshuvah, Shezdoinois of Nasas Lokis Zechuyos. It's a merit. When Hashem looks back at a person's sins, Hashem says, this will be for you a mitzvah, because this is what triggered a change. You look back at your life and you used your sins as a tool to improve yourself, as a method of doing teshuva, and therefore it's going to be a credit. Now, what's the pasuk? This pasuk that we're learning today in Sefer Yechezkel, this is such a critical pasuk in Yadus. In Yadus, and here we're fortunate to learn it inside in the context of the entire discussion of Yechezkel. Uveshuv rasha meirish osa v'osa mishpat utztaka aleihem hu yichyeh. The Medrash has a very profound interpretation of this pasuk. Aleihem means upon them, upon the sin itself. The sin itself, who is going to be for him a source of yichyeh, of life. The sin itself turns into a merit, which is a source of giving this person new life in this world.
So you want to answer the
stira? Stira? Wait, let me finish. What?
Between what is the same thing?
Stira, contradiction. So the Gemara answers, the Gemara asks this question, Rish Lakish himself contradicted himself. So the Gemara says, Loi Koshia, Kan me ahava, kan me yira. So therefore, there's two different types of tshuva, ava, and therefore, when the person is tshuva from love, then it's kizuchuyois. When it's miyira, he is afraid of punishment, then it's still going to be kishgogois. So that now the fact that Reish Lakish himself said both of these things, so that causes us to question. So Reish Lakish himself, when he did teshuva, when he did tshuva, did he do tshuva me'ava, or did he do tshuva me'ira? And the simple answer is, there were different tekufos in his life. When he was younger, when he started off, he did tshuva me'ira, and as he progressed, as he developed in his life, he went to a higher level, he did tshuva me'ahava. Person grows, he grows in his life. And there's a lot of things about the Chofetz Chaim, a lot of contradictions about the Chofetz Chaim's life. Different even in halacha, in hashkafa, things that he did. So I even once asked this to his great grandson, Rabbi Zaks. by Zax, one of the Zaxes. He has a whole community in Muncie. Kvar, I think it's called Kvar Radin. It's called Kvar Radin. It's a whole development. They made a development in Muncie, and he's the Rav, and he's the Rashiv. They have a whole thing there. So I was once at an event, and he was there. I was sitting next to him, and I was talking about the Chofetz Chaim. It just happened at that point in time. I was learning. I read something from the Chofetz Chaim that there was a contradiction with regard to how many barachos he made on tefillin. Did he make two barachos, or did he make one bracha? And in the Mishnah Berurah himself, he writes that you should make two brachos. On tefillin, on the tefillah shel rosh, do you make a bracha al mitzvahs tefillin, or do you only make a bracha, just one bracha lehoniach tefillin? So that's the difference between nusach svar and ashkenaz. So what did he do? So there are eyewitness accounts, if I'm not mistaken, eyewitness accounts, Talmidim would testify exactly what he did, and there's a contradiction. And there are other things like that. I don't remember all the details, so I asked this, so he said, yeah, it's not a kasha. The Chofetz Chaim lived a very, very long life. He lived at least until 95, and many say he was really a lot older. He was really even 100 years old, and every year they made a birthday party, and they made a birthday party for him, by the way. Chofetz Chaim, today people is shy away, it's a goyish minug, but they made, every year they made for him a birthday party, and every birthday party he got younger. Last year he was 90, 94, this year he's 93. This year he's 92. Why did they do that? The family was afraid of Ayin Hara. So when they made the birthday party, they were so happy another year. So they made him younger. And in those days, you know, age wasn't something which was recorded. Well, like today. Today everyone knows exactly their age. Everyone is counting the days. But in the earlier generations, people didn't pay that much attention, it appears, to age. They generally knew when they... Some people didn't even know how old they were. They didn't even know how old they were. They wasn't recorded. So he got younger every year. So when they say in the books that he was like 95, maybe less, I don't know, it's not necessarily accurate. It could be he was even well over 100. It's not exactly so clear. But in any event, so he said, the Chofetz Chaim lived a very long, productive, fruitful life. And he changed. He changed. So Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. There were periods in his life that he did things like this. And then he changed his mind, he did things like this. So just because, it's not a contradiction, he was not necessarily consistent. So too, Reish Lakish himself, he has these two different ideas of Ahava, of Zuchuyos and Shgogos, Kan Me Ahava, Kan Me Yira. This is the Pasuk, and it's...
But yeah. The way they quote the Pasuk is much more...
Oh, it's not the same.
It's not really the same.
We don't have the word Aleihem. We don't have the word Aleihem, you're right. Aleihem Hu Yichyeh. It's Bohem lo yichye lo nemar ela alehem. So maybe this is a different pasuk. Who knows? Maybe I'm not even quoting the right pasuk. He's quoting this over here from Masechta Yoma. And Masechta Yoma, the Gemara does it more often than not. The Gemara often does not quote the pasuk accurately.
Torah Shebal Peh.
So by design. That's a whole discussion. Pevav. I'm looking at the Masechta Gemara. See what it says in the Gemara. Maybe over here he's not quoting the pasuk. When it comes to the pasuk called Shaya, he cites chapter and verse in this sefer that I'm using. When it comes to this pasuk, he mysteriously omits chapter and verse, but it could very well be that no such pasuk exists. And the Gemara is making a composite. The Gemara is taking different pasuk and putting it together, which the Gemara commonly does to bring out an idea. But in any event, the Gemara, the theme over here is Chol Yo Yichya, which it interprets to mean that the sin itself now becomes a source of life, and that only happens when you do teshuvah me ahava. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Yeah, we find over here. Peva b'mebeis. Yoma peva b'mebeis. Look for the Hoshea. You'll see the Hoshea right away. Yeshuvah Yisrael. All right, now we go to Pasuk Yud Zayin. We had this in the beginning of the Sefer, and this is powerful stuff. Pasuk Yud Zayin says, V'yomru b'nei amuch, Hashem says to you, chesed, the people, they say to you, lo yitochein derech Hashem. This is something which, v'heima, but Hashem responds, v'heima, it's they, darkam lo yitochein. The word lo yitochein is a very powerful word. It means incorrect. Ribbono shel olam, you are wrong. You're making a mistake. We always know better. We always tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, you just don't know what you're doing. If only you put me in charge of this world, I would solve all of the problems. Lo yitochen, the word yitochen comes from the word Cain. Cain, we had this yesterday and Shabbos. Cain, binos, tzlofchot, dovros. Correct. I take an exam. Did you answer the question correctly or did you answer the question falsely? Riboyne shaloylam, you get an F. That's in essence what the world says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You get an F for you have failed in your hanhaga, in the way you conduct business, in the way you conduct this world. This is what, who says this? You think the world says this? Yechezkel says, this is what people are thinking in their mind. Bnei amecha lo yitochein derech Hashem. The way of Hashem, his conduct is false. It's incorrect. I don't say false. False is not the right word. Yitochein means you're just making mistakes. You don't know how to conduct this world. We know better. Hashem says back, Vehema. They, the Jewish people, darkom lo yitochein. Go look at yourself. You don't know what you're doing. If you knew what you were doing, look, your hanhaga, the way you live your life, this is not the proper way to live your life. You're living a life of make-believe. You're hypocrites. So before you come and give me mussar and tell me if I'm, what grade I get on my affairs, the way I conduct this world, let me tell you that you get an F. So, yeah?
Could you explain? I know you usually
don't the
targums interpretation.
Can you Zion? I'm not sure. No targum. Which pasuk is Zion?
Yeah.
The Yemrun, the people who that's the people. Bnei Amcha. They say they lo miforshon. He's translated the word yitochein means miforshon. Lo na orcha tuva de Hashem. It has not been explained to us the good ways. So you're right, the Targum, I don't know the Targum, I'm guilty. The Targum, we really should read every Targum inside. We absolutely, I would do it. Problem is, I need a good translation, which I don't have. I have very good, there's, you know, the Concordance, the Concordatio, I'm sorry, there's Jastrow, which I have on my smartphone, so it's out of this world. And I also have this phenomenally good Sefer on Targum, but it just takes forever to go through every word. It takes me the whole day to go through to really prepare well the Targum. So I'm guilty in not going to the Targum, but you're right, it is so critical to understand the Psukim. That's one of the, okay, for any event, he says over here, you're right, he's saying, Lomafarshim Lona, it's not been explained to us. Mefarshim means explained to us. Orchas Tuva, the good way to Hashem. So what does that mean exactly? I don't know. This requires more bear. It's a different translation. The word you're talking is the way the Mefarshim on the page interpret. Look at the Mitzvah. Let's see the Mitzvahs. The Mitzvah and the Mefarshim, they clearly interpret it in this way. That's also the way we learned it way back. Let's see what it says here in the Mitzvah.
The Pasuk in the Gemara is quoted directly.
The Pasuk in the Gemara correctly. So, also, so what do they do over here? In the Mitzvah the Yoma, did he change it? Maybe it was a change? No?
I don't think so. Doesn't.
All right, I don't know. I don't know what to say, okay? A mistake? Could be. I don't know what to say. It says, Yom Pevav.
Right. And, Nazalok is Kuya Shinema. It was Shuv Rosh HaMeir Rishasa V'Osa Mishpud Stoka. Oh. It does say Aleh. V'Osa Mishpud Stoka Aleh.
Oh, that word doesn't appear. So what does it say? What does it say on the side? Agoni Hagoyis Tziyonim? They call the Pasuk? They call this Pasuk?
Actually, Torah or
yeah.
Brings this pasuk. But also, Mishpat Stok Al Nehemu Yecheskel Lamed Gimel Yud Tes.
Further, okay. Okay, it's two psukim down. All right, look at that. You see that? Oh, you know, you're right. I'm quite pasuk Yud Tes. Okay, I'm all mixed up. Okay, it's okay. I jumped ahead. I apologize to you. This is Tezayin, and then this is your test to say it's repetition. Okay, so we jumped ahead a little bit. Sorry about that. Two psukim ahead. All right, let's go further. Let's see what it says in the Mitzudos. David Pasik, Pasik Yud Zayin. Yud Zayin is the Amru Bnei Amcha V'im Yomu Lo Yitochein Derech Mishpat Hashem. There's a complaint. The Jewish people says the Mishpat Hashem's judgment. Mitzudos adds one word into the pasuk, mishpat, the way Hashem judges people is not correct. So he's really, the Mitzudos here is giving us a very beautiful bayer. And he's saying this goes back to what we said before, that a person's entire life can do mitzvahs. And the very, very end, he does one aveira, and his toya, according to Chazal, yas charata for doing all of the mitzvahs. And Hashem says, oh, you have charata, so I'm going to throw out the window all of your merits. So Klal Yisrael says, lo yitochein, that's not fair. That's not fair. Even though it may be true that we have regret for all of the mitzvahs that we have done our entire life, we still did the mitzvahs. We still accomplished something. What?
Why would you have regret?
When someone's bitter, they do very strange things. People who suffer from tragedy, and it's a very bitter, the mind is a very delicate thing. And Rachmana Litzlam, when people go through tragedy, they can do things that they never in their peaceful state of mind would whether fathom doing. Right? That's a reality. And it's a very scary thing. And so people, after they calm down, they'll say, I lost all my merit. That's not fair. Lo yitachein. It's true, I have charata. But the bottom line is, let the record speak for itself. My stats are good. Okay, a baseball player. They caught me on steroids. Okay, but listen, let the stats, maybe it's true at the end of the day, I the last couple of years, I got a little older, a little heavier, slowed down, so I took some injections. But listen, look at all those good years. I was clean. Why are you going to throw me out of the Hall of Fame? Right? Why are you going to throw me out of the Hall of Fame just because? So it's lo yitochein, this is what people say. Ki yachshavu loymar mehoroi hu lachshav hoishonim im lachroinim elu mulelu. It's not fair. You can't throw out. Ulefien yia hamishpat. And therefore the judgment should be, we take into consideration all of the good things that the person did even though he had charata. Vehema, Hashem says back to Klal Yisrael, you don't understand the way things really work. It's like we say the principle of ki loy machshav oisai, machshav oisechem. The way Hashem operates is not the way we operate. Vehema be'emes, hachoshim came, the people who think like this, they are the ones, came darkam lo yitochein. The Mitzvah is very interesting. When we translate the pasuk, your technique, your method of mishpat, that's incorrect. You have to delve very deeply into the matter, and when you'll think about it very deeply, Hashem is saying, you will see that I am correct. Rashi, there is none, and Radak, there is none. Let's go to the next pasuk, Yudches. B'shuv tzadik mitzitka sov yosu avol umeis bohem. When a tzadik does, regrets his righteousness, the osa avel, and he does avel na'avera umeis bohem, u'v'shuv pasuk yutes, u'v'shuv rasha, there's a lot of repetition, u'v'shuv rasha me'rish asoi v'osa mishvut staka, when a rasha does teshuva, and he does mishvut staka, aleihem u'yichya, repeating the same thing we said before, he will live in the merit of doing tzedakah mishpat at the end of his life, or where we learn more profoundly, it means that doing, having charata itself, the averois themselves now become a source of life. Pasuchof v'amartem lo yitochein derech Hashem. Do you dare say to me that Hashem's way is incorrect? Ish kidrochov eshpoit eschem. Hashem responds, each man according to his ways, I will judge you, base Yisrael, Jewish people. My way is correct, it's your way that's not correct. Hashem just says, don't dare say to me that my conduct of the world is not correct. I know what I'm doing, and I will judge each person according to what he deserves. Let's see these three psukim and so on. The Mitzudos, Pasuk Yud Ches says, "B'shuv tzadik, k'sheyoshuv tzadik mitzidko sovyosu avel, haloi hu meis be'eis sha'asoy sa'osam." When a person does, a tzadik does an avera, so he will die due to his avera. The Mitzudos interprets the pasuk to mean that this is for this person's benefit. Ulitoiva techoshiv lo shelo yosif lachato. So he's giving over here some more bayer that if you see a person's entire life as a tzaddik and then one day becomes a rasha and he dies suddenly, you should understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to preserve his good deeds. And that's why he takes him from this world prematurely, being indeed that he has a good record, let all of those merits be with him. If he's going now to continue to do averos, he may come to the point where he will have charata for his mitzvos, And therefore, you don't understand the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sees the future. Now, that's a very fascinating concept, because there's a very delicate balance, we've spoken about this many times, is when does HaKadosh Baruch Hu take into account the future, and when do we say the principle, Ba'asher Hu Sham, when Yishmael was about to die, when Yishmael was about to die from starvation, from dehydration, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the eyes of Hagar to show her where the water was, to order to give a drink to her child. So it says in the Medrash, all the Malachi Hasharis appeared before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Ribbono Shelolam, look into the future. Look what this evil man will be responsible for. Look at his descendants. And Hashem says, Vayar Hashem esayeled ba'asher husham. Hashem says, listen, at this point in time, he has not done anything wrong, and he's an innocent child, and his mother is crying, they're crying, they're deserving of salvation. How do we reconcile that with the principle of the Ben Soyer Umoyer, where Kodesh Baruch Hu looks into the future, also that this person is going to be Melaste Mesabrios, and instructs us that this person should be put to death? And even if we, Halacha L'maaseh, the Gemara says that maybe it never happened such a thing in this world where parents brought their 13-year-old child and said to the Beis Din, our child is a Ben Soyer Umoyer, the Chazal said the fact that the principle exists in the Torah is an indication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates with this principle of taking people from this world because he knows of the future. So how do we understand answer the contradiction between these two principles? And here, according to the Mitzudos, exactly what he's saying here in this pasuk is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take the tzaddik prematurely because he has now done an avera. The answer obviously is there's a balance. There is some type of balance where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't understand how this works. There are times, Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates with the principle Ba'asher Hu Sham, and sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates with the principle of the Ben Soyer Umoyer. Why this and not that? That is all something which is a mystery to us. But here we see it here in this pasuk, at least according to the very deep interpretation of the Mitzudos. Okay, next, pasuk Chaf. Pasuk Yutas. Pasuk this Alayhem. Halohu Yichya Bavuram. Lohaisif Mishpat Utztok Asher Heichel. When the Rasha does Teshuvah, he will now live. Hashem will not look back at the past. Notice that the Mitzudos, he translates the word Alayhem not like the Medrash. He clearly explains the word Aleihem refers to the good deeds. The good deeds that he's doing today is going to now be for him a source of life. Unlike the Medrash, the Gemara, that interprets this more homiletically, that explains Aleihem refers to the sins. When this person does teshuva me'ahava, the sins now turn into his merit. Pasukav amartem the eichtam, how dare you say, lo yitachin derech Hashem cho'amer, halo haseichel, the Seichel Mechayev Derech HaMishpati, the Seichel Hashem says, according to the Mitzudos, so you can twist and turn these psukim in million different ways. I like to say, when I was translating this, I was trying to tell you that we don't understand these things. Don't question Hashem. You'll never understand Hashem's ways. It's beyond us. According to the Mitzudos, it's not so. According to the Mitzudos, it's logical. It's Seichel. And this is a very, very deep idea. By the way, this is a very deep, deep principle is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he put us in this world. Let me give like a step back. Do you spoil children? Right? You have a child. Hashem gives you a bracha, you have a child. Do you spoil him? Child wants this. He wants a new toy. Get him a new toy. He wants a bike. He wants this. He wants that. Do you spoil your child? And you just hope, you know, the child should have enough seichel. Of course, where a parent has the ability, a parent has to go commit suicide for the child, go work his head off, but where a parent has what to give. How far should a parent go in pleasing the child? So there are different schools of thought among child psychologists. Some child psychologists say, you gotta go be tough. You have to deprive your child so that he will develop a sense of responsibility, a sense of appreciation, And that's how it has to be. And then there are child psychologists that say, no, you know, you don't overdo it, but you should be very good to your child. And where do you draw the line? Okay, every child is different, every parent is different, every situation is different, but there's a difference of thought. What's the logic why a person should be good to his child? If you brought your child into this world, it's your duty to be good to him. You can't bring a child into this world and just throw him into the streets, let him be homeless. If you bring a child into this world, you have a responsibility to make him happy. There's such an approach. And as far as the child should be mustered discipline, he should appreciate, you do the best that you can, but that's the child's responsibility. That's society's responsibility. You have a duty you have a responsibility to be good to what you bring into this world. So it's the same attitude when it comes to understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Does a person have a right to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, listen, Hashem, I understand. You're way and beyond above anything I can possibly understand. It's beyond us, your holiness, your the way you conduct things. But listen, you put me into this world, you gave me a very limited degree of understanding. I have a right to understand how things work. I have a right. And if I don't understand why bad things happen to good people, at least to a certain degree, I have a legitimate complaint. Is there such a svara to say such a thing? Or does a person say, listen, Hashem, you put me into this world, I'm just here to serve. I'm here to ask questions. Which one is right? Well, that's a very big fundamental hashkafic issue. Where do you draw the line? In this pasuk here, you read the pasuk on a very simple level, is Hashem says, you tell me my way is not right. I'm telling you your ways are incorrect. You can learn that is that don't question me. You don't understand, too bad for you. Too bad for you. But that's not what it says in the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos goes to the effort of saying is that think about it and you'll come to the conclusion that my way is logically correct. You don't have to be religious to accept the situation. You can accept the situation even through seichel. That's what the Mitzvah says. I'm not making this up. He says, "Lo yitochen derech Hashem chomel halo halo haseichel mechayev derech mishpat yulechein eshvus gesam gam kol ish kifia derech shehu oisa bocha oimer lezoshu midarech maroim umusav hu." The eich tabu lo yitoch in derech Hashem ko'ochoy mehaloh haseichel mechayev derech mishpati. Hashem's response is not only is my way correct, it's logical. When you think about the approach that I'm giving man, the ability to do teshuva and not to take into account the past and to focus on the present, this indeed is logical. Therefore, I'm going to proceed and judge men according to the present. Therefore, I'm telling you now you have an opportunity, even though you have done averos, you can now take advantage, you can do teshuva. I will not hold you accountable for your past sins. We're going back to the beginning of the parak, back to parak yud. In the beginning, Klal Yisrael said to Yechezkel, there's no need for us to do teshuva, it's too little, too late. Hashem says that's false. Do teshuva today. I'm not going to look back at the past, I'm only going to look to the future. Okay, that's Mitzudos. Rashi just says, Umeis bohem b'shilom ye'onesh, you will die through doing the averos now. If a person, a tzaddik, he stops doing mitzvos and starts doing averos, is now going to suffer the consequences, and there is no radak. So this pretty much concludes this very powerful section with the midrashim. We did enough midrashim. Let's now go on to something new. Okay, now we go to new topic. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. New topic. Vayihi b'shtei esrei shana. It's now in the 12th year. The 12th year is what? The 12th year of the galus of Tzidkiyahu. The 12th year of the galus of Yehoyachin, which means we're already in galus. Now, something I want to point out about Siri on the tenth month, which is Teves, Bachamisha Lachodesh, on the fifth day of the month. This is a very, very famous fundamental pasuk, and this indeed used to be, according to one opinion, the Gemara, the day when you're supposed to fast, not supposed to fast Asara B'Teves, You're supposed to fast on the fifth day of Teves. Why? Lugoluseinu, boy lie, because of this event. This is a very tragic event. This really represents the very, very end of the Churban. The Churban started with the siege on the 10th day of Teves, 3 years before the Churban. The second fast is Yud Zayin B'Teves, when the wall, Tammuz, when the walls were breached. The third fast is when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed on the 9th and 10th day. The fourth fast is when Gedalia was assassinated and all of the people had to flee to, they all fled to Egypt. There was no longer a Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. And then there is the fifth significant day of the Churban, and that is when the report that the Churban happened reached Bavel. It reached Bavel. Now this is another interesting idea, is that something is not real until you hear about it. There's like a principle that Avelus does not begin as long as you don't know it didn't really happen. What do you mean it didn't really happen? It happened. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Just because something physically happened in this world, if it's still alive in your mind, it didn't happen. Okay, there's the mind and there's the world of reality. Which one is the real reality? Is the physical world the real reality? Or is the recognition, the awareness of the event, the real reality? The real reality.
It's Trump.
What?
It's the Maslakis between Trump and the media.
Trump?
And the media.
And the media.
I know when I was younger, a long time ago, there was something that happened that was very disturbing. Something happened to me that was very disturbing. And I only found out about it like a few months later. And it was very traumatic for me. And I always think about it at the time when I found out. I don't think about, well, really, this reality really existed a few months ago. It's not like nothing new. Like, what are you so upset about? This was the reality going on for a long period of time. But in your mind, until you know it, until the awareness exists, it doesn't really exist. Because the real reality, to some degree, is in your mind. The awareness of the event. And it's very insignificant, is that according to one opinion in the Gemara, and the Chodesh, the fast day of the Ho'asiri, does not say in the Pasuk which day of the 10th month we should fast. Should we fast on the 10th day of the month? Or should we fast on the 5th day of the month? According to one opinion, we're supposed to fast on the 5th day of the month because of this Pasuk. This Pasuk reveals that the report arrived in Bavel that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed approximately 5 months after the real event. Now, how could it be 5 months? Today, you know, you can send an email. They could probably have watched it live. They can watch the Churban live, unfortunately. So it took 5 months, or at least an email, text. But and even you want to say the travel doesn't take 5 months to travel from Yerushalayim to Bavel. It doesn't seem like it takes more than a few weeks at most. Obviously, the roads were closed. The people were not allowed to travel. Nebuchadnezzar, he had complete control over the region, and he suppressed people from traveling to reveal the information to the outside world. So indeed, it did take 5 months until the message, the report, came to Bavel that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Okay, so this was on this day, on the fifth day, the Polit, Boilai HaPolit, B'Yerushalayim, Lemar Hukis Sohu Ir, the city was destroyed on the 9th and 10th day of Tammuz. This parak now begins the sugya of the vindication of the Navi. So this is a rare theme, because most of the Nevi'im, their predictions did not come true in their lifetime. They predicted things, and I mean, it all depends, but generally, it was not very specific. So it was very hard to hold a Navi accountable to saying that you are a Navi MS. This is a very significant exception. Yechezkel, on the day of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, told them, we had this before, the Beis HaMikdash at this moment is being destroyed. And the people were looking at him and saying, how can you possibly know that? You're here in Babel, you're so far away from Eretz Yerushalayim. How could you possibly know that? I'm telling you, Hashem has spoken to me, he's telling me this, write down the day, write down the time. 5 months later, the Pulit arrives and says exactly what Yechezkel said was correct. Yechezkel has now been vindicated. And thus, it has granted him a license to speak to the people and give them Musar unrestrained. Until this point in time, with the beginning of the Sefer, Hashem always says to Yechezkel, V'ne'alamta, you have to keep your mouth shut. The people are going to suspect that you're a faker, that you are a liar. They're not going to believe you. When the Pulit arrived and revealed that Yechezkel knew inside information what happened 5 months ago to the moment of the day, he was vindicated, and now all of a sudden Yechezkel is going to be free reign. Everyone knows that whatever he says is 100% MS. It opens up a whole new frame of mind for Yechezkel to have the freedom to speak his mind without any restriction. There are two different things we see over here soon in the Farshan. There are two different messages the Navi presents. He presents, number one, the Dvar Hashem, the Nevuah. Hashem puts in his mind, in his mouth, exactly what to say, or at least he sees a vision and he relays the vision. And then a Navi has a right to speak his own mind, to say what he thinks. Let me tell you, let me give you my take on this. Let me give you my editorial of what's going on. So until this point in time, Yechezkel did not have a column in the New York Times. There was no editorial from Yechezkel, because who are you? Who are you to go give us your commentary on world events? You're not a player. You want to say the Dvar Hashem? All right, well, think about it. Are you for real? You're not for real? That's debatable. But now that he's been validated, now every major media outlet, they serialized his column, his editorial. He had free reign to speak his own mind. Okay, the interesting idea is the Pulit. Where else do we have the word Pulit? The same idea. Og. So indeed there are midrashim which seem to make some type of connection between Yechezkel. That's the deep meaning of the lead, and we're going to lead now into Avram Avinu. We're going to focus now a lot on Avram Avinu. Yochid Hoy Avram. Why? Because Yechezkel, to some degree, is being compared to Avraham Avinu. Just like the Pulit came to reveal to Avram that Log has been captured, Yechezkel here is acting as Avram Avinu, the Ish HaIvri. The whole world is on one side. Yechezkel is on the other side. Yechezkel is on the other side. And now the Pulit is coming to tell him inside information what exactly is happening in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has been nishva. Ki nishva ochiv. Your brother has been captured. The brother over here refers to the Sheris HaPleita. They have been captured in Yerushalayim. Now the Pulit over here doesn't say he's an anonymous person. In by Avraham Chazal, it's also anonymous. There's a Medrash that says it was Oig Melech HaBashan. But there are other Midrashim that say it was the Malach Michoel. The Malach Michoel is the one that revealed that information to Avraham Avinu that Lot was taken as captured. And here as well, someone has said that it was the Malach Michoel that reported to Yechezkel that Yerushalayim has fallen. So he comes and he says to Yerushalayim, Lema Hukasoyed, he has been smitten. Pasach Abeis, the Yad Hashem, Hoy Solai Ba'erev, preceding. The Pulit came to him by day. The night before, for I guess 12 hours, the Yad Hashem Hoy Solai was upon me Ba'erev, Lifnei Bo HaPulit, Vayiftach Espi, and this Malach opened my mouth. In other words, he was telling Yechezkel, you now have free reign. You're now going to be vindicated. You're going to be able to speak your own mind and give Musar to the people. Ad until Bo Eli Babok, until the Pollard came to me in the morning, Vayiposachpi, again the pasuk repeats itself, he opened my mouth, Velo Nelamti Od, no longer Mikanu Lahaba, I was not required to withhold my own thoughts. Let's see these two psukim inside, pasuk of Aleph in the Mitzudos David, Bishdei Esrei Shonel, Musav Al Ligolu Seinu, it's in the Laimar, Yud Be Shonel Ligolus Yoyachin, 12 years the Gos of Yehoyachin, Shaz Gola Yecheskel, Imam Yecheskel was Gol Imam Yecheskel, went into exile together with Yehoyachin. That was the second exile. The first exile was during the days of Yehoyakim. Okay, in the fourth year of Yehoyakim, there was a Golos. That was when Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was his fourth year. He came to Yerushalayim and he exiled a group of people, including Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. That was the first exile. The second exile took place with Yehoyachin after the death of Yehoyakim. So he went to Gols in the second exile, Boasiri, Bachodesh Hasiri, Bachodesh Hamishi, in the 10th month, which is Chodesh Teves. The Churban took place 5 months ago in the 5th month. The new year begins in Tishrei. And that's something that's very strange, because the new year in Jewish calendar begins when? Chodesh Harishai, in Nisan. So why does it say now the new year begins in Chodesh Shvi? The cheshbon of the years that will be Tishrei, min hachadashim heima min Nisan, and the min hachadashim is Nisan. Mitzvah over here says something very, very fascinating. He says there is a contradiction in time. When it comes to the years of the world are from Tishrei, but the cheshbon hachadashim is from Nisan. That doesn't make sense. Right? It's Manav Shach.
The Gemara Rosh Hashanah discusses in great detail.
What does that mean exactly?
The ages of Moshe and Aaron.
And especially when it comes to the Jewish kings, how do we calculate the year of a Jewish king? Nisan. So the king is appointed on the 29th day of Adar, and then it's Chodesh Nisan. How many years into the Malchus do we calculate the king? 2 years into the Malchus. So why suddenly are we calculating? So if we want to calculate, if we want to continue the calculation of the number of years from the time of the Golos of Yehoyachin, or Tzidkiyahu, we should still be in the 11th year. Since we have not yet passed through a Nisan, and we still are in operation with regard to the kings, Tzidkiyahu, and you're still alive, Tzidkiyahu, and Yehoyachin, so we should still call the 11th year. Obviously, we see a Yesod is that once the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, the Churban, has taken place, we no longer consider him to be a king 100% at Kidei Kach, that we're going to calculate his years based upon the Jewish year, but we're going to calculate his year based upon the secular calculation of the Malchei Umoy Soilam, whose calculation is based upon Tishrei, not based upon Nisan. Okay, any of that, let's go to the next pasuk. The pasuk with Apollet arrives in Yerushalayim. Hanimlat min haharugim boy lai lemar li said to me, Shuk Sohiev, the city has been smitten as full, lo yutzun loimar, shekivashuha, it's been conquered, the hiku anosheha, and the people have been killed. Pasuk habez, viyad Hashem ruach hanavua bo alai bo erev, Shalafne Hayom Ahu, Vyefzach has pi return Lemar Ad Hazman Shaboy Lai Apol Baboyker Diber Bi Hanavua. Until the morning the Navua spoke to me, Loimar Shemeyata. So here's the thing I told you before, this is a very powerful idea from the Mitsudos. Very, very profound idea. Shemeyato Uchal Liftoyach Pi Lihoichichom Af Mi Li Bi. Okay, a very powerful idea. A Navi is not just the mouthpiece of Hashem. A Navi is also an independent person. He's a preacher. He can speak his own mind. So until this point in time, I was only Hashem's mouthpiece. Now that I've been vindicated, that gives me the opportunity to be Mechadesh, for me to speak my own mind, af mi libi, ki al ki me ato, now the people will recognize that I am the real thing. Yishmuli, until this moment, the Nehu is telling me that now be creative. Be mechadish. And that's indeed what happened from that morning onward. I opened my mouth. It says back in Perach of Dalid, on that day, when the polit arrives, when you are vindicated, you'll be able to speak your own mind. Rashi. We have over here a few Rashi. We have over here two. Let's see. Rashi pasuk chabez, chabez. Vayiftach espi. Chemosh amar brosh asefer. And he goes. Say, it's the same idea. V'nelamta v'losia lohem lish mechiach. Hashem says to Yecheskel in the very beginning, Yecheskel, you're just going to be my mouthpiece. But as far as expressing your own ideas, I'm warning you: keep your mouth shut. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They're not going to be receptive to your mussar. But now, the achar kach omalo, b'yom kachti mehem es mu'uzam, on the day when I take from them their might, meaning when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, and you will have everything that you have predicted will have come true, yavai ha'polit elecha, b'yom ha'hu, on that day yiposach picha, I will open your mouth, es ha'polit. The polit will give you the power to open your mouth. Velo say olem od. No longer will it be necessary for you to withhold your own musar. Ad bo elai baboker, kolema ba'od bo elai baboker, kamo lefnei bo elai baboker. Okay, now let's see Radak. There is not much Radak. Radak, pasuk. Is there any Radak over here? Pasuk of Aleph, ayehi. Ligoluseinu, Ligolus Yoyachin, Ki Oz Golo Yecheskel Hanavi, it's saying as Mitsudos, Boilai, Hapolik, Mosham Lamala, Boy, Mohubi, Apollo, Alive, Shabirash, Moin, the Hemposig, Bosig, Vidabri, Oisach. Okay, let's see when we have one more Posig. One more Posig, just a little bit to get to the next thing of two more minutes. Vahid Rashmila Lamar, Posig of Dalit, Ben Adam, Yoshve, Hai, Harova, Israele, these people that sit on. The survivors. Yecheskel is now coming to address the survivors, and this is extremely relevant for us because we're all survivors. What are we here today? We're all survivors. Anyone that's zoicha to be alive after all these generations, it's obviously Hashem sees something very special in us. If that in the history of Klal Yisrael, so many people have not survived and we're still here, obviously we have a purpose of being here. Unfortunately, the survivors have a chip on their shoulder. And the survivors need to be straightened out.
Is this as far as they're
in the Eretz Yisrael?
So they went to Babylon.
They're coming. Well, the survivors, some of them, it could be they're coming. Some of them, well, maybe they're never going to come. It's not really clear. I'm not sure.
He's speaking to
the people in Babel regarding the survivors of Eretz Yisrael. Uh-huh. So why is it important? He's preaching to the choir. He's talking to the wrong people. So obviously the people in Babel suffer from the same complex. They have the same issues. Or they will relay the message that he says to them in Babel, it will be relayed to those who live in Eretz Yisrael, or it could very well be that the people in Eretz Yisrael are going to first coming. Obviously, there had to be some people who came. Some went to Yerushalayim, some were killed, some went to Mitzrayim, some scattered out other places. But he's describing here the mindset of the survivors. And there are different interpretations as to what he's trying to say. Either it's positive or it's very negative. And obviously, Elu the Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. There are elements of good things in what he's saying, chizuk, and there are elements of very, very mistaken, a false approach to dealing with the tragedy and going forward. So I'll just read the pasuk. I'll do this tomorrow, but the basic idea is Ben Adam Yeshvei HaCharavos. The survivors, the people who are living in the land that has been destroyed, Ho'ela, Al Admas Yisrael, Oimrim Leimar. This is their frame of mind. They say as follows, Echod Hoya Avraham. Avraham was one. He's the source of Eretz Yisrael. Hashem said to Avraham, Lech lecha me'artzcha me'mulatcha me'be'savicha le'oritz ha'sharech. It all started with the first Avraham Avinu. At the time of Churban, they are forced to reflect what happened. What happened? Here, go back, Hashem, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they went to Mitzrayim, they came out of Mitzrayim, 40 years in the Midbar, they had Eretz Yisrael for 850 years. And now, bang, the whole Eretz Yisrael is Choraf. So they reflect back at their history. Vayirash Esa Aretz. Va'anachnu Rabim. Avraham was only one person. We are many. Now, what does it mean, many? Does it mean there was 1,000? Does it mean 10,000? Whatever it means there are more than one. Lanu nitna ha'aretz limoy rasha. It's still ours. It's still going to be ours. No great loss. Just because the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed, just because the Nebuchadnezzar has murdered amongst us millions, just because the vast majority of us has been driven from the land, We will prevail. We're optimistic. We will persevere. There will be a degree of renaissance. Okay, isn't that a very healthy outlook? Right? Isn't that what you would think? It's a very hard look. So Pasuk Chav Hei, we'll read the Pasuk, we'll stop loose tomorrow. Hashem says, you're making a big mistake. Don't be so optimistic. You think you're so optimistic? L'chein emra lehem. Koyama Hashem elukim. So says Al Hadam Techelu. You're optimistic. If you continue to do Averos after the Chorban, you're going to eat Aver Min Hachai. Ve'enechem Tisu El Gilu Lechem. And you're going to continue to worship idols. Ve'dam Tishpoichu. And you're going to continue to spill blood. Ve'aretz Tirashu. You really think that you're going to come back and you're going to repossess this land? You're going to go and you're going to make for yourself a state, and you'll say, listen, it's our legacy. We're better off than Avram. Avram was only Echad, and we're much better. We're in a much better position today than Avraham was in his time. And if Avram was able to make a land for himself and that survived for 850 years, al achas kama v'kama, we will repair the breach, and we will take the land back into our possession, and we'll possess this land. Hashem says, big mistake. Don't be so optimistic. It's not in your hands. If you're going to do Averos, you're going to lose the land. If you don't do Averos, you do mitzvos, indeed I'll give you back the land. It's not in your hands. The only thing that's within your hands is to do Torah, or mitzvos, or ma'asim tovim, and that will be the zuchos. Now, that's the basic gist of what Hashem is saying, but there's a lot, obviously, more detail. The devil is in the detail, and that will have to wait until Hashem for tomorrow.